today on the Travel Guys.
Did you pay for this? Because if we didn't pay for this, they won't let us on, because it says it's a paid program.
I didn't pay. Did you pay?
I didn't pay anything. Oh, I haven't seen the bill or anything. They may come and get us at any moment.
Let's just do it, okay?
In the travel news, Delta and American are not playing well together in the sandbox, and the TSA confiscates a record number of guns.
Using your smartphone or laptop in public places can be dangerous. At 3:20, we have an update on what you can do to avoid the newest Wi-Fi dangers.
At 3:25, our friend Jack Maxwell, the booze traveler, returns to talk about the show's second season, premiering tomorrow night on the Travel Channel.
Broadway is a very special place, and at 3:35, I am our very own celebrity KFBK morning anchor Amy Lewis is going to stop by to share some show reviews from her latest trip to New York City.
Your very own celebrity.
Yeah, huh? Our very own celebrity.
Okay. Finally, we save the best for last at 3:55 and tell you what your choice of seats on an airplane tells you about your personality.
Another busy Sunday afternoon, my friends, right here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's
with the show.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, here every Sunday from 3 to 4. You can find us at travelguysradio.com and kind of follow along with the program. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman, and we are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Good to see you. How you been, Mark?
I've been good, except I'm a little sweaty right now. It's here in the studio. The temperature for the second week in a row, we came in, and my God, it's kind of like a sort of like a sauna.
I don't know what's happening, but occasionally
I think it has to do with not paying the bill, as we previously know. Maybe they're trying to tell us something.
It was on off, and I don't know how that happens.
How can it be on off?
Yeah, so anyway, I turned it on, and it's gone from 82 down to, it's only 78 now.
I see. We're doing much better than the 49ers, who are,
Anyway,
baseball season's almost over.
Well, you know, it's that kind of stuff that drives extra listeners to our show.
Our radio
right in
program.
The middle of the game. Hey, heck with this football game. Let's tune into the Travel Guys and see.
How have you been, sir?
See how they're doing. Doing well. I have clutched in my hand the... looks like the almost the raw proof of the catalog.
Yep.
The 2016 Dream Book, as it's called here. Mm-hmm. And this is very exciting. I'm going to thumb through this.
Sports Leisure Vacations. We roll that out next Saturday, just over the hill here at a small hill over the freeway at the Red Lion Inn Woodlake. If anybody would like to join us, it's a $10 admission charge, which is donated to charity. And there are still a few seats in the afternoon session. The morning one is full. We're going to have probably close to 700 travelers out there next Saturday.
That'll be great.
Next Saturday.
I will be there. Mark and I are, for those that may be going or thinking
already
about
planning
going,
on going, yes.
Besides all of the great stuff and taking a look at all of the great trips for 2016 with the Sports Leisure Vacations, I'm going to do an inside interview with Mark, and we're going to reveal perhaps secrets that nobody knows.
And if we pay the bill before next week, you'll get to hear it on the radio.
All right, we got a lot to get done today, so let's get to it here. Here comes the travel news.
Top
of every Travel Guys radio show. What you got? What's new?
Well, let's see here. American and Delta, you know how airlines, Tom, if, you know, a lot of times if you're traveling on one airline, something happens, they'll put you on the other airline. And, excuse me here while I get the microphone adjusted. And so apparently this is what's been happening. Delta claims they're running such a good airline, and this particular statistic supports that. American has been sending Delta distressed passengers at a rate five times as much as Delta sends American distressed passengers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The airlines cooperate with each other and on some sort of revenue flow basis take the other guy's passenger and charge them a reasonable amount of money or collect whatever it is you collected from the passenger and take that as the fare. But Delta is saying, wait a minute, you're sending us five times as many people as we're sending you. So you're running a bad airline. You're having five times as many distressed passengers as we are, and we're tired of it. So if you fly on American, you may have one less choice as to what they can do for you if something happens along the way. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. You know, I mean, here again, if Delta is picking up a large share of distressed passengers from America, it's hard to say whether, you know, they can... It may put a bind on their ability to do business with their customers.
That's exactly what they're saying. This is part of an interline agreement. It's a master contract between the airlines, and they have their own way of how they disperse the revenue with this. But the important thing to note is that if you're flying on American, Delta is, and there's no mention of United Airlines anywhere in here, and those are the three legacy carriers that are left. Southwest Airlines does not interline with anybody. Spirit doesn't. Frontier doesn't. That can be a problem sometimes, but with Southwest that has regularly scheduled service and a lot of planes and a lot of flights, it isn't as big of a deal as if you're dealing with an airline that has very limited service or very limited equipment, like Allegiant or somebody like that. But anyway, it's just interesting that Delta apparently has so many fewer distressed passengers than American. And I would, you know, I mean, it begs the question, why is that? So Delta is saying, you know, thanks, but you keep your problems and we'll deal with ours. There is apparently an air traveler's bill of rights. This comes up every few years in Congress, and it may come up again in the next week or so. Janice Hahn, who is a California Democrat, plans to introduce a bill establishing a passenger bill of rights in the coming days. And there's some speculation as to what might be included in that. But she has given some hints as to that she's not very happy with seat size and passenger comfort, and that there might be something that says you've got to have X number of seats between this seat and this seat, or you've got to do, you know, the seat has to be X number of width. The interesting thing is that we've all gotten wider over the years, but the airline seats have gotten smaller.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, will that, do you think that might have anything to do with making sure that all the prices are revealed?
Oh, well, pricing, that's a whole different issue. Okay. I mean, you know, that
won't be part of the Bill of Rights.
No, that's that. Well, it has been before part of the Bill of Rights, and that's what forces the airlines now to, and they hate it. They would do anything to get rid of having to tell you what an airline ticket costs. They would much rather have to tell you what it is without the taxes or what it is without any of the fees or anything like that. Anything that would make it more difficult for you to compare. People, the public tends to jump on tickets start at $39.
Oh, yes.
Instead of the ticket's $129 and includes everything. The $39 ticket includes nothing. And at the end of the day, for the $39 ticket, you paid $149. So you actually paid more for that ticket. But the airlines have figured out that the public is much more willing to go after that banner headline price than they are
a la carte.
That's it. And they can make more money that way, even though the airlines that do this continue to tell people that, no, this is actually better for you, and this is cheaper if we unbundle everything. Little alarming, TSA got a record 67 guns in 1 week, September 6th through the 12th. Working all over America, discovered 67 firearms. 56 of them were loaded.
Oh, my gosh.
26 of them had a round in the chamber.
Are you kidding?
And so TSA folks said, you know, it's great to share things that our officers are finding, but at the same time, each time we find a dangerous item, the line is slowed down, and a passenger that likely had no ill intent. They're saying most of these people are coming from states where they allow, open carry is allowed with weapons. So these people are coming into the airports, I guess, forgetting that this is in their carry-on luggage. And if you forget, it's not a good thing. You can face a fine as high as $11,000. You can be arrested on site. If nothing else, you are likely to miss your flight. So it's not as big of an issue, I guess, in California because we don't have open carry laws here. But nonetheless, 67 guns in 1 week at the airport. You probably saw that accident on the Seattle freeway that involved the charter bus and the duck, the land and water vehicle this last week. 4 people were killed. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating, and they say that apparently the front left axle on the duck vehicle was sheared off, which is what caused it to veer into the side of that bus on the freeway. I've always wondered about, we use those vehicles occasionally on our tours for groups in cities. And
the ducks?
Yeah, and I will tell you that after this happened and reading about some of the things that have happened recently, I'm going to take a real close look at this for the future, because some of the people who have driven those vehicles say they can't see. You know, they put all these special mirrors and stuff, but because of where you are and the shape of the vehicle and stuff like that, that it's hard to see passengers, cars, pedestrians, things like that. So as somebody from NTSB said, you know, these vehicles were created to invade a country from the water, not to carry tourists. So
that's true.
It may be time
that's
to take. However, there are companies that make those vehicles that make them especially for modern times and have a lot of safety systems installed. So anyways, more to come, I'm sure, on the duck crash up in Seattle.
And we did talk about the ducks last weekend. The ones in San Francisco are no
more. And guess what? The ones in San Francisco are owned by the same company that owns the ones in Seattle. And finally, if you are traveling internationally, there are some, if you're going to Australia or Germany, Germany is having strike actions all of this week at some of their airports, and Australia's international airports are going to have 10 days of strike actions starting on Monday. So if you are flying internationally in the next week and a half, remember a lot of traffic goes, air traffic goes through Germany's skies. So if there aren't as many air traffic controllers, there can't be as many flights in the air being handled by German controllers, which means that some flights don't operate. So if you're flying internationally in the next week or so, either to the South Pacific or over to Europe, you might want to just check and make sure that everything is normal. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are here, the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler. And coming up in just about 3.5 minutes, we're going to talk about making you a safer traveler when you are in public places, and you'll find out exactly what we're talking about coming up in just a moment. We are the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
My gosh, how coincidental. We were just talking about leaving on jet planes and Delta and America. And anyway, we are the Travel Guys on KFBK. You know, I take with me... Well, a lot of electronic devices, and when I whenever I have the opportunity, I will check my emails from work and so forth. And I have actually been known to actually check my bank account. But one of the things I try to do is I try not to do it on a public Wi-Fi because it just freaks me out. And Mark, you've got some information that you dug up recently that
we've got a couple
has something to do with that.
A couple of things that are going on here that have come up lately. One's an old scam and one's a newer scam, just to be aware of. One involves Wi-Fi, the other one involves your hotel room. The Wi-Fi thing, Tom, is comes down to that thing we're always telling people, be very careful about free Wi-Fi in public places. So if you're staying in a hotel... in a major city particularly, and you go to log on to the Wi-Fi and you'll see, you know, Marriott guest, and you'll see 5 or 6 or 7 other choices. Why in the world would you take anything other than the hotel that you're in? And I know people are lured by free. Now many hotel chains are allowing, if you are members of their frequent guest program, while you get your Wi-Fi for free. So it's fairly easy now to avoid charges for Wi-Fi. So why in the world would you go into a place like that? Or if you were in the middle of Times Square, using your example, and you were just, you know, just tooling around on the web, and you're looking at things, and you don't know, you're sitting there doing something, and you decide to check your bank account or something, you're connected to the wrong thing. Somebody has just tapped into your bank account.
Well, if you have Wi-Fi activated on your device, it's going to be scanning for Wi-Fi connections that could be, you know, some private one or who knows what it could be, versus being on what they refer to as the 4G when you have your Wi-Fi turned off and you're just using, you know, the cell phone connection or whatever.
Yeah.
And so
is safer.
Yeah. And you can inadvertently actually end up on somebody's Wi-Fi that you don't know, that has the ability to monitor everything that you're doing and capture your passwords and adjust your banking account so that it becomes their banking account.
And they don't, according to what's been happening, this has been going on, this has sprung up particularly badly in Times Square and also at Disney World. Have had a lot of reports of this recently. Two places that were on a list that we shared a couple weeks ago about places for people to be on the alert for. But so the moral of the story is, just don't blindly accept free Wi-Fi that you're seeing. If you're expecting there to be free Wi-Fi where you are, and you're choosing to log in, make sure you're connecting to the right free hotspot. And another thing is that they recommend is, if you're connected for a long time, is go back after 10 or 15 minutes and make sure that you're still connected to the spot that you intended to connect with in the first place, that someone hasn't overridden. And I have no idea how that works or how it happens, but apparently you can connect to one spot and then you can be stolen to another spot. And so it's when you're using public Wi-Fi, you've just got to be careful. Or the other thing too is, Tom, is don't put yourself into a situation, in other words, don't look at your bank account. And train yourself not to go into those sensitive things when you're out in public. Okay, quickly, the other one is in the hotel room. You check in, somebody calls your hotel room, says there's a problem with your credit card at check-in. We need to verify some information. So if that ever happens to you, the first thing you do is say, okay, fine, that's great. I'll call you right back. Or as you suggested when we talked about this before we went on the air, is just you say,
go down to the front desk and see them in person to find out what the issue might be. And Mark, go ahead and explain to our listeners exactly what you're talking about. You know, we were discussing that with some hotels, and I think everybody's done this. You've called someone at a hotel. They've texted you or told you what room they're in. You're in 413. So you call Joe Average Hotel, and you say, I'd like a room 413. And sometimes they'll just patch you right in. Other hotels?
If you're staying in a good hotel, they'll ask you for the name of the person registered in that room, and then they'll ask you for that person's room number. Or if you don't have, if you just have the name, they'll patch you through, but they don't tell you the room they're patching you through to. And that's the sign of a good quality hotel that has phone operators that have been trained in security. You also go into a decent hotel, and you'll notice now it's common practice in hotels, standard practice, to hand you your room key packet and not say your room number out loud.
Right.
But just point to your room number and tell you that's your room, and there's where the elevators are, and your room can be found on this elevator or whatever. And unless you say your room number out loud, you'll never hear it. So.
And the point that you're making is that you say in New York, people have been randomly calling directly and getting to the room where they then pretend to be people that work for the hotel who are mining you for your credit card information.
So if you get one of those calls in your room, anybody asking you for information related to your check-in, just say, I'd be happy to come down to the front desk and talk to you about it right away. And that'll take care of the problem.
We're the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and I'm so happy to bring back on the air one of my favorite guys and my favorite shows, and that is Booze Traveler on the Travel Channel. We, in fact, reran Jack's interview from about a year ago, a few weeks ago on one of our Best Of shows. Welcome back, Jack.
Thank you. It's great to be back, fellas. What's happening?
Jack, when you hear the term booze traveler, a lot of people just think that this must be a show about a guy who travels around and drinks. And Mark Hoffman, my buddy, pointed out after he watched it several times, says, you know, that's not what it is at all. It's a show that even if you don't drink, has just incredible cultural value. Tell us, first of all, what is the concept all about for Booze Traveler?
You know, you're exactly right. And what it is, basically, we just hold up the mirror to the culture and say, this is who they are. These people either drink or they don't, but every civilization since the beginning of time has learned how to make alcohol out of something. So we go to places that they make alcohol or they get alcohol or they drink it. It's not about to excess or anything like that. It's really just a celebration of all the people and cultures of the world through the lens of a cocktail glass. And, you know, if this is what they do, who am I to say it's bizarre or strange or different? It's just what it is, whether it's drinking really expensive scotch in Scotland, cobra wine in Hong Kong, cow's blood in Tanzania, or tomorrow night in Greece. You know, they're going through this very terrible economic crisis, but you wouldn't know it when you're there. It's like Christmas Day. They're so happy, and they celebrate, and they jump up and down, and they're just wonderful people. You wouldn't know it. You know, I chased 30,000 sheep down a mountain on Crete because it was the festival of St. George, and afterwards we drank some retsina, which is white wine with pine tar, because that's what they do, and the guy who's looking at all the sheep. And he said, listen, what economic crisis? If you make cars, you can't eat them. You make TVs, you can't eat them. We got sheep, so we can eat them. They're happy. They said, we are Greece. We've gone through so much. We will bounce back. And I believe them. So even if you think you know Greece, I promise you, you're going to learn things about this wonderful place you never knew, including some of the stuff they drink, which might be outside the norm some of the time.
Yeah, we're talking with Jack Maxwell. He's the host of Booze Traveler in its second season, premiering tomorrow night, Monday, at 10 o'clock on the Travel Channel. Jack, of all the places that you've traveled on Booze Traveler, give me one or two of the most unusual for you.
Well, you know, in Hong Kong, we had Cobra Wine, and this woman who's the Cobra Queen messes with snakes, and she bops them on the head, and the hoods come out, and they get really pissed at her, and they bite her sometimes, and she almost dies, but this is what she does. She lives for this Cobra Wine that she makes. And so it's a little different for me, but they've been doing it longer than America's been a country. So who am I to say? So if a culture brings me in and shares themselves with me and also wants to share their drinks, then I will drink it. And I drank this Cabernet Sauvignon, and it wasn't so bad, really. It wasn't so bad, although it looked quite different at first. But that's the great thing. You don't know until you experience all of the wonderful sensory things about a place. Not just know the history of it or look at buildings or monuments, but to live it from the inside and instead of as a tourist, but as a true traveler, as a local. And that's the best part of it. And on Booze Traveler, we do that all the time.
Of all the places that you visit, Jack, are there any that you just have to go back to and try again?
Oh, so many. I don't know that there's one on the list that I wouldn't go back to, but one holds a special place in my heart, and that's Sicily, because I am Sicilian, and I met people who were related to me, and they did. It was like I was their twin brother. They were so nice and wonderful to me, and they brought out this special cream coffee liqueur that was so strong. I said, oh, this is definitely family. These guys are family. And they brought out the mayor and the town band, and I traipsed through Sicily, and we drank wonderful wines and a thing called Bitter Florio, which was the forerunner to Campari and Acqua Zammu and Artista, and great things. You might just think Italy or Sicily is just wine, but it's so much more, and the people are great. And that's in week two, so we got a lot of great shows coming up for you.
Not only that, Jack, I understand that the Travel Channel at travelchannel.com has added a series. It's an online series called Jacked with Spirits, a web series, 5 episodes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. That's a little specific and a lot shorter, of course, but it's just meant to be a companion series. And Jacked with Spirits is about micro distilleries in America. And we only covered 5 at the time because I had to go out to shoot Booze Traveler. But we went to San Diego, Portland, Seattle, Park City, Utah, and Boulder, Colorado.
Jack Maxwell, host of Booze Traveler, premieres on the Travel Channel tomorrow night, the 28th, 10 p.m., and every Monday from there on and for about 16 weeks. Jack, thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to join us here on the Travel Guys.
It was really great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Wow, that was a really good interview, Mr. Romano. Coming up after the news with Dina, we have Amy Lewis is here. Our KFBK's own Amy Lewis, to talk a little bit about what's going on Broadway. If you're a Broadway fan, you will not want to miss this interview. Coming up with Amy Lewis, Dina's next with the news on News Radio KFBK.
I want to be a part of it.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on KFBK. And as we promised all week long, we are bringing in a celebrity to talk Broadway, and not necessarily a celebrity who is performing on Broadway, but certainly has spent a lot of time there. Mark, I'll let you introduce our guest.
She's certainly a celebrity to us and to many of the people who are regular listeners of the radio station. Welcome Amy Lewis to the Travel Guys.
Hello, guys. And I have to tell you, if I'm a celebrity, it's on the rung the rungs of celebrities. I'm on the ladder just below rodeo clowns. So, okay,
ooh,
I'll take that.
Well, and we're probably a few notches down from you, Amy. So,
you know what? And I actually have been on a Broadway stage a couple of years back. We went to see Once, which is a beautiful,
great show.
Amazing show. Beautiful music that tells the story of two people falling in love. And before the show, you can actually walk onto the Broadway stage and stand at the bar and watch them play these wonderful Irish tunes, and just you feel like you're a part of Broadway. It was a moment I'll never forget.
You can get a drink on the stage, and I told my folks when we went, I said, look, when I came to the previews, they weren't doing this, but I said, go up and buy a $5 bottle of water, because one lady said, I don't drink. And I said, that's not the point.
Yeah,
oh, you'll
exactly
never get a
right.
chance to be on a Broadway, an active Broadway stage ever again.
That's
go up
exactly
there and
it.
See what the audio, what it looks like from up there. And I mean, that was worth the price of admission, but
yeah,
it
I
was.
Actually, I actually went up there with my husband and we stood there for a while and I couldn't help myself, but I knelt down and I put my hand on the boards, you know, and just thought, oh my gosh, I'll never get closer than this.
Tom, Amy has the disease.
Oh, I've had it for years.
Does she ever? Now, the reason that Amy's here, I popped into the studio the other day and we were talking about her recent vacation. And when she told me where she went and what she did, I just felt, Mark, we just got to have her on the show. Amy, tell us where you went and what you did.
Well, okay, so my husband, Stuart, and I try to go once a year or once every other year to Broadway. What happens is that as soon as I watch the Tonys, I'm like, okay, that's it. We got to go. And last year we went to Europe. We spent time in London, Ireland, actually London, Wales, and France. And so we said, well, we're going to go to Europe next year. And so we went to Broadway again this year. And just absolutely, Mark, I mean, Broadway is just such a desire for people who love theater, who love Broadway shows, who love music, live acting, and certainly you get it on Broadway. And so over the course of 8 days, I almost hesitate to say this, but we're such Broadway geeks that
it's okay.
Over the course of 8 days, we saw 7 shows. So basically when the sun was shining out in New York City and the weather was lovely, we were in a dark theater.
But it's the only place in the world, that, with apologies to London's West End, that you can see so much quality entertainment in. I mean, and the prices are not cheap, certainly.
No.
But the thing that was hardest for me, Amy, when I made my first trip to Broadway and saw a couple of shows there, then I had to come back to Sacramento. And, you know, Richard Lewis's gang does a wonderful job with the shows and stuff here. But let's face it, there's nothing that's the same as Broadway. It doesn't matter whether you're in San Francisco or wherever you are.
No, and I actually think Richard would agree with that, because my daughter worked with Richard at the California Musical Theater, and he knows that Broadway is Broadway.
Yeah. And that's what makes it special, and that's what makes the tickets cost $150 a throw now.
On a good day.
Yeah, for new shows, and that's if you don't want to sit way down front.
Yeah.
So what did you go see?
Okay, so speaking of new shows, we did see, I think, 3 fairly new shows and 1 brand new show. So we saw Fun Home.
Okay.
And if you don't know about that, that is a beautiful play about a journalist who kind of looks back at her life growing up, knowing even when she was a kid that she knew she was gay. She just couldn't kind of put a title to it. And she didn't know how to talk to her parents about it, which a lot of kids have gone through. And then she found out as she got older that her father was actually gay. And so it really does tell a very touching, brilliant story of how these two interact. And it's tragic. And it's probably one of the most touching stories I've seen on Broadway in a while, kind of along the lines of Next to Normal, which was an amazing Broadway production. Then we saw An American in Paris, of course.
Oh, that's special.
Come
that's
on, it
a
was
really
crazy good.
Oh, I was so disappointed it didn't win the Tony Award this year, but it was just a little bit too traditional for some Tony voters, was kind of what I heard. But when those who like traditional old style musicals,
exactly.
when American in Paris comes around, you want to go see it.
Yeah, we then saw a play called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. Had you heard about that, Mark?
No, I haven't.
So that's a story about a boy with Asperger's. He's on the autism spectrum, and it tells the story of how this dog, as the play opens, a dog is found dead on stage. And now the whole thing is who killed the dog. And it really tells the story of this boy who deals with his parents splitting up and how, you know, nobody really understands him because he has autistic side to him. And it just really is a beautiful musical about that. Kind of for me, I'm not really a theater critic, but some of the scenes were a little too long for me. There's a huge bus scene where he makes his way on the bus through all these different, you know, routes and all this. But it was really enjoyable. I liked it. I don't know if I would recommend it to everybody. The other one was a play that I will never recommend to anybody.
Uh-oh.
It's an off-Broadway play called The Flick. And it actually tells the story of the people who clean up the theater after you've seen a movie and left all your crud behind, right? Three people on stage.
Sounds like something I would have made up.
Oh, my gosh, Tom. Three people on stage, a whole row of empty seats, and the conversation is so staccato and so slow. It was just almost, I have to say this, and people are going to just, they won't like it, but we walked out.
Oh, my.
We walked out at the intermission because it was just the first, you know, normally.
Have you ever walked out of a show before?
Only once before, and it was actually Musical the Musical. Had you heard that, Mark?
Uh-huh.
It was off Broadway, too, and it was so bad. Anyway, so
it happens.
Yeah, it does. That's
you have to have the good judgment to get up and walk out.
And this is why this was off Broadway, too.
I understand the last half of the play is outstanding.
No, it's not. Because I actually walked out before intermission because for various reasons. But I found the book in the lobby and read the rest of the play when Stuart walked out during intermission, because you know you can't go in until the intermission is over. Stuart walked out and he looked at me and he goes, yeah, we're going. We're not going in. And
I could tell Tom, I told you she has the disease. See, she's smart enough to know to go to see an off-Broadway show, and she's smart enough to get up and walk out of the theater if it's not any good.
Because your time is very important to you. The other one we saw was Something Rotten. That was a British farce about Shakespeare and about all the guys who wrote plays around him but just never got the accolades that Shakespeare got. We saw A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, another very funny
farce. Coming to San Francisco
few
weeks.
We're actually going. We bought tickets to take my folks and the rest of my family. I loved that play so much. Mark, have you seen it?
I saw it, yeah. I did. I saw it in
New
York.
Like it?
It's a farce. It's a different... I did. I liked it. But I was taken aback by it because my expectation when I walked into the theater, I made the mistake of not knowing about the show ahead of time.
Okay.
And so I was expecting a certain type of Broadway show, and it took me 45 minutes to realize that that wasn't what was happening. And so I was playing catch up the whole time. But it really is a very entertaining show. It's very funny.
It is. Yeah. It's very funny.
You're listening to The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, with Broadway critic Amy Lewis, also morning anchor here at KFBK.
The last one we saw, guys, was probably, for me, one of the most enjoyable because it was a lesson in history and it was told in a new form. So have you seen Hamilton, Mark?
No, I haven't, but everybody's talking about it.
Mark, it is incredible. Not only should you go see it, you should take your young teen kids or teenage kids with you to go see it. It is marvelous. It tells the story, obviously, of the duel between Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, but it also tells the story of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and others in writing the Constitution. But it's told, hang on to your hat, in rap form. And it is one of the most intriguing, entertaining, absolutely amazing productions.
Now, that's
productions
really
I've
interesting for you to say that because, obviously, you know, you didn't grow up on rap music, right?
So, no, but I have three daughters, so I listen to a lot of it.
That's almost the same. Mark, that's almost
same,
the same.
Yeah. Same thing, but for you to say that shows that it is a multi-generational piece. And it's
absolutely funny
because, like you said, it's rap music, and it's about stuff that happened, you know, what, 150, 200 years ago. And people of all ages are going to see it, and the reviews are just spectacular. So it, once again, the great thing about Broadway, I remember when Disney showed up on Broadway with Lion King. It's been a couple decades now, and everybody said, oh, this is going to be the end of Broadway as we know it. And Disney has, and instead, it was a rebirth of Broadway, and Disney brought a whole new genre to the stage.
Absolutely.
And it happens every few years. We're lucky enough that somebody on Broadway sticks their neck out a little bit and is successful. Those shows cost millions and millions of dollars to get to the stage and go through a process that sometimes takes years.
Yeah, and I would imagine at some point Hamilton will go on tour because it is that good. If you're going to head out to New York City anytime in the near future. Try to get tickets. It's difficult to get tickets, and they are very expensive. But eventually, if it comes to San Francisco, you've got to make the journey down to the Bay and just watch it. It is incredible. Really, really well done. And when I say rap, it's not rap that you can't understand. To be very honest, my father is 83. My father was an English teacher in high school for 39 years, and elocution and the English language and syntax and grammar, very important to my father, very important to me, obviously, as I was growing up. Not really a production I would recommend to take my 83-year-old English teacher father, but other people would really enjoy it.
Amy, let me ask you before we let you go here, where do you stay in New York City? You were there for a week.
Oh, my goodness.
Time.
Yeah. Okay. So we stayed at the Marriott Marquis right in the middle of Times Square, in the heart of Times Square.
Wonderful hotel.
It really is, Mark. And you know what? We stay there. We are very faithful Marquis stayers because the Marriott is a beautiful hotel. We know we'll be treated very, very well. And we stay there every time we go. And so we've gone, I can't even tell you how many times, more than 10 times, probably 15 times, and absolutely are treated the exact same way every single time, which is extremely well. The cost is understandable given that you're in the heart of Times Square.
Listen, my groups are staying there this year in November, and then next year the Marquis is our exclusive home. So you're right. It's not an inexpensive place to stay. The rooms are going to run you $300 to $400, and the tax in New York boggles the mind. But what you've just touched on there, you spent all that money to New York City. You're spending a lot of money on Broadway shows. New York is a very expensive destination. To be able to be right in the heart of everything, and just to be able to walk out your door at night, and even if you're not, even when you don't go to the theater in New York City, walk outside your hotel room at 10:30 at night.
Everything is there.
Thousands of people are pumped up. They've come out of the theater, and they're all flooding out the Times Square, and they've made it an incredibly pedestrian-friendly place now, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you this before I go. Before we had gone to our first Broadway show 15, 18 years ago, my nephew, who spent a long time in New York City, said, stay at a hotel I recommend at 98th and Broadway. So we did. And then we decided never to do that again. And we went to the Marriott Marquis in the heart of Times Square and have always stayed there from then on out because, as you said, it is, you will find everything there. Your restaurants are there. Carmine's. Oh, have you eaten at Carmine's?
Our group's eat at Carmine's. You're following our itinerary here. Sardi's is right there.
Yep.
Gallagher's Steakhouse. All of these
Frankie
wonderful
places. Frankie and Johnny's.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely. Yes.
Oh, Frankie and Johnny's is one of my favorite joints.
Love it. Yes. And of course, I mean, if you've never been, eat at Sardi's. You kind of have to eat at Sardi's to see all the pictures on the walls. But once you've eaten at Sardi's, go somewhere else to treat yourself to.
Yeah, that's the truth. And there's so many wonderful places in New York City. So, Amy, thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit of that with us. And I hope that this is the first of many appearances on the trip. You know what we should do, Amy, is we should get together a trip for listeners and go to New York City. Because it's obvious that you have a tremendous passion.
Do not say that if you will not follow through, because I will be there.
Well, you and I will talk soon.
Excellent. All right, Mark, thank you. So this was absolutely a pleasure. Oh, Tom, thank you very much, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, do you know Amy at House of Feel to be on the other end of the interview for a change?
That was great. You guys are very easy to talk to.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, guys.
We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. More to come. The Travel Guys on KFBK, speaking of the iHeartRadio app and all of that, you can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com, and podcasts of the shows are available by going to the iHeartRadio app, and just type in travel, and if you want to get real specific, type in Travel Guys, and all the past shows, at least for the last couple of months, are going to be there, and of course, at TravelGuysRadio.com, you can go back as far as you like.
Turn on the microphone there. See the lovely picture of Amy Lewis there, who was
Wasn't that a fun interview?
She loves Broadway.
Oh,
I can't wait to take a group of people and go to Broadway with Amy and see some. That will happen. You just watch.
Awesome.
Listen, you're talking about our website and neat things that are there. Sometimes we put things on the website that aren't always up
aren't part of the discussion during the show, it's football season, and right there under highlights on our homepage is 10 hotels NFL fans should have on their radar this football season. It basically talks about hotels that if you're going to, like if you were following the 49ers or the Raiders on the road and right. you wanted to get where they stay or be in a great spot to attend the ball game or a real live party spot. Anyway, it's 10 hotels that really, if you're a football fan and you follow your team on the road, you can go there. And there's all kinds of great stuff there. Remember a few weeks ago we had the lady from the Sacramento Library talking about getting a passport?
Right.
Well, that information is right there on the homepage. So if you are a traveler, then you should have Travel Guys Radio somewhere on your site so that you can go in and find out what's going on there. Let's see what else is going on in our Travel Guys world. Rob on the Road on KVIE.
Yes.
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Join host Rob Stewart as he suits up for a one-of-a-kind canine cop experience with the Sacramento Police Canine Association.
I remember when we had him in studio and yes. we were talking about being involved in different shows and uh-huh. what he was most excited about, and this was one of the ones that he mentioned.
Oh, really? Really?
Oh, yeah. He says, this ought to be awesome.
Okay. He's going to be out with the Canine Cops on Monday, and then at the end of the show, meet the winner of the world's ugliest dog competition. That's Monday night with Rob on the Road. Also, from KVIE, Rick Steves is coming to town. Have you ever met Rick Steves?
I have not.
I have not either. I've been in this travel industry for a long time. Never met him, but I might get an opportunity to meet him and maybe interview him when he comes to town. He's going to be here for KVIE on November the 30th at the Crest Theater. Tickets are available. You can go to travelguysradio.com, and we have a link there, or go to the KVIE site. But Rick Steves is coming to Sacramento on the 30th. Of November. And then let's see, on down the laundry list here. Congratulations. Last week, our travel card was worth $300, and Yuki Hashisaki called into the Sports Leisure office on Monday and claimed her $300 prize. She was quite pleased. And so we start back down at $100 this week, and our winner went to Vancouver Island with a group a couple of weeks ago, Richard Nichols, N-I-C-O-L-E-S. Richard Nichols, you have Monday or Tuesday to call our office and claim your $100 Sports Leisure Vacations travel card for being a Travel Guys listener.
What you got? You got something for me there. It says gift card or something.
Oh, and these are those.
Isn't that for me?
You remember a couple months ago, I told you that, long story short, I'd had some Marriott gift cards. They had gotten stolen out of my briefcase. My card gotten broken into. They stole the certificates. They were never used. I didn't know what the numbers were. I didn't think I'd get them replaced. Marriott sends me a thing, says, hey, you never use these gift certificates. By Utah law, they have to be disposed of in some way, shape, or form. So if you've lost them or something, fill out this form. We'll send you a new one. Marriott right here. Here's the
look
proof.
There,
two
huh?
Marriott gift cards.
That's great.
$100 a piece that I thought was gone. So thank you.
Do
to
me a favor.
Yes, sir.
Don't lose those. Okay,
yes,
okay.
I'll try not to. I probably shouldn't have brought them into the radio station. All right, saving the best for last, we have what your airline seat choice says about you. Now, are you a window guy or an aisle guy?
I'm kind of an aisle guy as a rule. You know, I like the window once in a while, but most of the time I prefer the aisle.
Now, remember our old buddy Ben Schlappig, who goes around the world all the time, and he likes the window because he likes to pull his hoodie up over
right.
when he's not in first class and sleep on the window. I see people doing that all the
window
time.
The window is truly the only place where you can really lean against something, you know, and try your best to try to
I always get the
comfy.
Bad spot on the window, though, because no matter how I roll up my jacket or bundle it up or put it in a wad, it my head slides down yeah. every time, it seems like. So this is a little thing. Let's see. Where did this come from? Expedia.com says that Expedia and top psychologists say that your choice of what kind of seat you like says a lot about your personality. People who prefer an aisle seat are actually in the minority. Expedia says more people prefer a window seat, 55 to 45%. Psychologist and University of Washington professor Jonathan Bricker says if you're an aisle person, you value freedom. You're also all business and will probably be awake working during the flight. You also tend to be claustrophobic. If you prefer a window seat, you will value privacy, and you are a nester. You know you can make a cozy space for yourself in the corner. You're also a dreamer, so chances are you like staring out the window until you fall asleep on the pillow. And if you actually like the window seat, you're weird. No, you're an extrovert who loves to chat. So you're weird.
The middle seat.
The middle seat. Yeah. Yes. If you like the middle seat.
All right.
Nobody likes the middle seat.
We are the Travel Guys. Thanks for spending a little part of your afternoon with us. We'll be back next Sunday, 3 o'clock. We're going to talk about whether driving for Uber is actually pays any good or is just
less
than minimum wage.
As people say it is, or at the end of the day when you've paid everything. And so if you are an Uber or a Lyft driver, by the way, go to travelguysradio.com and drop us a note, and maybe you'll be on our program next week. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Stay well.